Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
There was a word that kind of sums up this week that we've all been in together, and we've talked about it quite a few times on the show. It's historic. There are things happening this week that have been written into the history books of our nation. We're all in this together. One force of human nature is the, I think it's 6 mile queue to pay respects to the Queen that's going on at the moment.
It's huge.
A huge queue. They've closed the queue down. I think no one else is allowed in the queue at the moment because it's at absolute capacity. And if you remember on last night's Home Time show, I was saying my auntie Ronnie had come down from Liverpool.
She make it through?
She made it through. My mum put a photograph in our family WhatsApp this morning with the title Go On Ron, and she'd watched the live stream to see her sister go
Fantastic.
Through it, which is an amazing thing. But I tell you what, it's not just us commoners that are in the queue for the Queen at the moment. The great and good are in there too. You might have seen on Facebook or Rolling News or whatever that David Beckham is in the queue to pay his respects to the Queen, decked out like Peaky Blinders with his incredible cap, and he looks the part. He looks really good. And apparently, he's been quite nice down there buying people donuts.
Lovely,
which is great. Imagine that! Imagine having donuts and crisps bought for you by David Beckham.
I think you'd need the sugar hit after all that time.
This would be good, though, wouldn't it? And that bore you up a little bit to go around with Bex. But it does raise an interesting issue, right? Being in a queue with a famous person. I remember it was probably about 7 or 8 years ago now, and I still tell people about it to this day. We were in a queue to get on a plane to go to San Sebastian, behind, a couple of people behind, Benicio Del Toro and Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Because they were in the movie Sicario and going over there for the San Sebastian Film Festival. So have you been in a queue with a famous person?
Two. I'll add two for the price of one on this one as well. Thank you very much. Lenny Henry and Dawn French back in the day. We're talking a good at least 20 years ago.
Back in the day.
On a now defunct package holiday flight operator on a flight back from Kefalonia to Gatwick.
Oh, wow. And how were they? Did you sit anywhere near them?
They were late onto the plane, is all I will say.
A lot of tutting going on there. Kevin says I waited at the baggage carousel in Kefalonia again with Peter Barlow from Coronation Street.
Kefalonia is where the great and the good go. How about this from JT? Whoopi Goldberg. I was at the American Embassy in London renewing a passport. My mum, not very subtly, said that woman there looks like Whoopi Goldberg. Only for her to turn around, drop her sunglasses and say, it's because she is. Through a wink as well. Class act.
Getting a wink off Whoopi Goldberg, that'd make your Amazing. Weekend, wouldn't it? Greg Emerson says he was in a queue with James Corden outside Itsu Mayfair. He needed a couple of bags for his order. I mentioned the infamous man bag and he laughed. Seems like a nice guy. And Rui says, only waiting in line with Romesh Ranganathan for a cappuccino at Three Bridge Station. But he's then tweeted us with a photo of the behind of Romesh with his bag, which is a little bit weird.
This makes it a bit more niche from Tim here. Queue for the toilets with a celebrity. Ended up weeing next to Freddie Lundberg at Heathrow Airport in 2002. He was on the way to join the Sweden team for the World Cup. I was on the way to inspect a washing machine factory in Poland.
Different, it's sliding doors moment, isn't it? I'd 100% have stage fright there. That's a stage fright situation.
It would be for me too.
Rachel said, listen to this. Rachel says, and this is the one to beat so far, right? This is a run of different spotting people in queues. Jimmy Nail, Gosforth Chippy on the high street. Big portion, she's put in brackets. Pavel Cernicek, Tesco Kingston Park, in brackets just milk. Gazza and Peter Beardsley, IKEA, in brackets on different days. Anthony Head, Cinema, Chippenham. Stuart Lee, hipster coffee stall at the Blue Dot Festival.
For a while there, it was a Geordie who's who, really, wasn't it?
Non-stop Geordies. So if you can beat that for an amazing queue spot of a famous person, 81215 is the number to text.
This tweet here is putting forward a queue with Nick Knowles.
queuing, sounds like a programme he'd be in.
Queuing at Heathrow to board a flight to Dubai many years ago. Upon boarding, the tweeter says he turned left, I turned right.
Oh, wow. OK, so he went to first class. Yeah. I think I've ever turned left. Unless I learn to fly or pilot a plane, I ain't turning left, put it that way. This is an interesting one. Guys, good afternoon. I stood behind Tom Daley and his family in Orlando in 2008. Now, here's the interesting bit. What I'm loving is not just being in a queue with someone, but people who feel that they then can make a bit of patter or a joke with the famous person. Apparently, Tom sneezed, and I said, oh, that'll be all the time you spend in the water, Tom. Had a bit of a giggle and a chat. Lovely family, and I left him to it. We've got Michael on the line. Michael, who did you queue with?
Robbie Fowler.
Robbie Fowler, the footballer.
Yeah, and it was at full time, Liverpool, Wembley, and Man City, and Liverpool had lost, and he was claiming his winnings.
What do you mean? Where was he?
In the concourse at Wembley Stadium.
What, a bookies?
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't even retired since.
So that means if he was claiming his winnings and Liverpool had lost, Robbie Fowler had bet against Liverpool and was claiming his winnings at Wembley.
Shocking, isn't it? Shocking to see.
This is not just a call into the Home Time show. This is whistleblowing of the highest order, my friend.
Yeah, probably libelous, but it is true.
James says he queued next to Brian Adams at Adelaide Airport.
Ooh.
Backpacking around Australia. That's James, not Brian. He was travelling with his guitar. Remembered he had a marker pen in his pocket, so fumbled around pulling all the dirty clothes out of the bag to finally find the pen, plucked up the courage to ask him to sign the battered guitar, and Brian Adams says, "No, I don't sign guitars."
James, that's very un-Brian.
James goes on. He saw my disappointment and grabbed a piece of paper to sign for me before heading off into the airport lounge, leaving me waiting. When I finally made it through customs, I saw him drinking in the bar with his entourage. He then sent me a bottle of Rolling Rock over and lifted his drink to me.
I like the happy ending to that story. If he had left on that sour note, that would taint Brian Adams for me.
Really would.
Going forwards. And I've heard he's a good guy. Do you know what I mean? Other stuff coming in. Gaz says, Charlie Dimmock, Cash Point Machine, no further information. Someone here says, Jermaine Jackson, Motorway Services on the M1. He was getting a salad from Tost, which is good to know. All right, Mariana is on the line. Who did you queue with?
Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro.
Whoa!
So bear in mind, up until this point, it's just been the stars of TV and the big screen. This is next level.
Well, I was very young and... this is just hilarious, sorry. I was very young and we were on our way home. Obviously, Fidel Castro is a pretty big deal in Cuba. And then, gates closed. We were all like, what's going on? And then he came out to apologise for holding everyone up.
Wow. And so, I mean, obviously, just to clarify, I guess you were on holiday in Cuba. You weren't on like a half board in Benidorm or something like that, and Fidel happened to be in the same resort.
No. We were on our way back from Havana.
So he came out to apologise. To a queue with him. How close did you get to Fidel?
Well, we were right at the front of the queue. We were at the front of the queue when the gates shut.
Wow. And did he have his cigar on the go and stuff as well?
I don't think he did. My dad got a few pictures of him, and I can't remember there being a cigar in that.
Because you remember the FBI tried to put explosives in his cigars to kill him. It's unbelievable. So he probably, by that point, he got spooked, didn't do any more smoking. Maybe he was vaping by that point. Well, that is an amazing thing. Currently, Mariana, that is definitely the leader. You're going to have to go some to beat Fidel Castro in a queue.
Well, I'm glad to have provided the story.
Gary Carter says, I once queued behind a certain Andy Bush and family for the restaurant at the White Rocks Hotel in Kefalonia.
Oh!
Do you want me to go on?
Go on, then. That was one of my favourite holidays.
Thankfully for you, it says it was the highlight of his holiday.
Oh, bless him. Do you know what? Kefalonia's come up a few times.
It has.
I want to go on holiday. Everyone else I know is on holiday.
I agree with you.
We need to get ourselves on holiday. Let's put a long song on. Kaz says, listen to this. Guys, I queued for a ride at Legoland Windsor with Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow a few years back. They had a big old row. He stormed off, then she stormed after him. And when we came off the ride, she was outside stuffing her face with crisps.
Oh, dear. Bailey waiting to share his. This is a good one. Bailey, who did you queue with?
It was Dappy from N-Dubs.
Dappy from N-Dubs.
And what was the queue?
It's a queue for Oblivion, I think. It's a few years ago now.
Okay, so what is this, a ride at Alton Towers, yeah?
It is, yeah.
What, I described the ride just so we know what Dappy was doing on there.
You just go up quite high and then it sort of leans you over the edge and it just drops you straight down.
Not one
and
for me.
Was it one for Dappy?
Not a clue, I didn't see him afterwards.
Were you behind him or were you in front of him in the queue?
No, I was behind him in the queue.
So right. Were you hoping then that you were going to end up going into Oblivion with Dappy then?
Well, I thought it was quite good, yeah, but...
Did he have to remove a lot of his jewellery? Because he wears a lot of jewellery and hats and all that kind of stuff.
He did, yeah, hat off, chains off.
I'm surprised he even made the hype thing getting in there, to be honest with you. You seen him?
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Bush, I'm heading into the weekend with the lawn looking the best it has looked in months. You know how I'm obsessed with my lawn?
Wait, this is where we differ, because you're quite into your lawn. I couldn't care less, and if I could tarmac our back garden, I'd do it at the drop of a hat.
At the height of the summer, when it was all record temperatures and all that kind of thing, it looked awful, much like every back garden in the United Kingdom. But I had faith in all the fertiliser I put down and all the love and the care and attention I've put on it. And today I mowed it, and you could play the Wimbledon final on that grass, I promise you.
But it looks a dream.
It does look a dream. And of course, you know, when you're cutting it, you've got your grass cuttings, all that kind of thing. What I didn't want to do was wheel the garden waste bin through the house. It's out the front of the house, ready to be picked up, all that kind of thing. Yeah. Didn't want to wheel it through the house out to the back garden, so I thought, OK, that's fine. I'll just put all my grass cuttings in a big bin liner, and I'll carry it through and empty it out the front. So the lawn looks great. Kitchen doesn't look so good because I split the refuse bag on a door handle as I'm walking through.
What a wind-up.
It suddenly got all these grass cuttings all over the kitchen floor. Took ages to clear up. Exactly. What a wind-up.
Well, you know, I think a split in any sense of any part of life is just the worst thing. Like, for example, like, I'll never forget. I don't know if you like, there's certain people in life that have split their trousers at school. And there's other people who haven't split their trousers. You haven't. And I'll never forget splitting my trousers being out on the yard. And then you have the humiliation of wearing 1970s pair of shorts and having to sit there whilst the dinner lady sews them back up again.
Generally, there is no good split. There's no good split if you're the person that is concerned with it. If you are the person that has seen a split, generally, the rule follows that it's very, very funny. Please share with us your split stories this evening. What split? Where did it happen? What were the consequences?
And Mrs. Zukowski, thanks for sewing up my pants.
Your stories, please. Let's just get this type out the way. Then we don't need to have any more of these.
There's a few of these, isn't there?
Matt says, friend of mine landed funny when jumping over a gap on his mountain bike and split. You can complete the rest yourself.
Split the difference.
We don't need any more of that. Thank you very much.
Split is difference.
What split? Where that happened? What were the consequences? Natalia tweets, as a yoga teacher, a leggings split is an occupational hazard.
Oof.
I've had a lady in the front row point at my crotch and whisper, Natalia. In such instances, depending on my comfort level with said students, I either refrain from demoing or I tell them not to look too closely.
Occupational hazard, that's for sure. Kirsty says, when I was working as a nurse on the stroke unit, I split my trousers doing CPR on a patient. I was wearing white pants, but I tell you what, the patient survived. Good news.
Lucky pants. Now, I'll tell you what has happened. We're having all sorts of police officers get in touch with us. This text, I split my trousers at work as a police officer. There was a pursuit. I'd set myself up perfectly with a stinger to puncture the tyres of the fleeing vehicle. Ooh. My time in the chase came as I flung the stinger out and bent over to lay the device. With a perfect spread, I heard a huge rip and my trousers split right back on my backside. The offending vehicle drove over my stinger and popped its tyres. I then ran down the road displaying my boxes to my colleagues as I grappled the driver out of the car. One detained and one pair of trousers for repair.
Starting to worry there might be a problem with police quality trousers here. Someone on the phone who wishes to remain anonymous, I think we have another police call. Great to have you on the show. Tell us your split story.
I was getting on my bike whilst on duty as a PC. Ooh. And a bit vigorously cocked my leg over my bike, split the gusset right out of my pants, and had to walk all the way back to the station because I couldn't ride it because the wind was getting right up you know where.
What a nightmare. And the other thing is, we talked earlier on about, like, dinner ladies used to sew your pants back up for you back in the day when you were a kid. What are your options when you've split your pants as a grown-up at work as a police officer?
Oh, you just have to hope you've got a spare pair in your locker.
Oh, dear.
Because you can't be arresting someone with a rip in your pants. It ruins your gravitas, doesn't it?
Gravitas and authority, I think, it slips away somewhat.
It's undermined, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Luckily, on that occasion, I had a spare pair, so I could go back out on duty.
Wonderful news!
Yeah, and also, I mean, if that happens to you, you've got to be having a spare pair of pants in your locker as standard from this point onwards, surely?
Yeah, all the time. Multiple pairs.
and a slightly less speedy mount onto the bike next time, I'd say.
Oh, I've got one on the bike now. I'm too old.
Interesting one here. A little bit different. Says Bush and Richie, I once split a pair of aces playing blackjack in Vegas and won myself £500. I don't know anything about that game of cards properly.
Me neither.
Splitting aces, what is that? But it sounds good. You need to do it.
The £500. £500 consequence is better than mopping up the kitchen floor, I'll tell you that much.
He's on a winner.
Mark's in Bedlington, honeymoon, nice hotel in Mexico, sitting in a swanky wine bar. I sat down and split my chinos from front to back. My wife said it wasn't noticeable, but all I heard was people laughing as I walked through the hotel and up to the fifth floor to the room.
Oh, God bless him. On the first night of honeymoon as well.
Martin, what did you split?
We were on holiday in Gouvier, and we went to the airport, and as I'm loading the cases onto the sort of the carousel, I must have split my shorts. Lo and behold, it wasn't sort of down the seam. It was from one pocket all the way down to the bottom. And lo and behold, I'm strutting through departure lounge thinking, oh, people are looking at me, must have a really good time, etc. And lo and behold, my girlfriend looked at me and went, you do realise you've just split your trousers all the way. And I was like, you are joking. She went, no. And it was literally from my waist all the way down to the bottom. And luckily, I had a spare pair of shorts in my bag, so I quickly ran to the toilet to the laughs and jokes of all the kids laughing over there, standing about.
You're really lucky because you've actually split the bottom whilst putting all your other clothes into the hold of an aeroplane. So you're very lucky you had a spare pair in your carry-on.
Well, I don't know how the hell I had them in my carry-on. I think it was probably because my other half didn't put them in the bag and just put them in there just to sort of... just to stuff them in the bag pretty quickly.
So you were the talk of Cardiff Airport, that's for sure.
Well, I was talk of Corfu. I couldn't understand most of what the people were saying in the sort of the Greek airport, but a lot of people were looking at me, and I was thinking, oh, you know, I'm looking. My tan must be pretty good. But no, lo and behold, I quickly run to the toilet and change my shorts there and then. So it was quite embarrassing at the time.
No one's been shy in coming forward with their stories about things splitting. Thankfully, not an embarrassing one, just an annoying one. But some of the stories that have come through, a little bit different.
Carol from Hertfordshire says, while climbing over a fence for a shortcut on a way to school, I got stuck on top of it. As I got off, my skirt ripped and I had to borrow my friend's skirt. I was 4 foot whilst my friend was 6 foot, and I had such a large waistband all day, we had to race back to hers and her mum had to fix it for me at lunchtime. Stays with her.
Laura says, I work as a post. I hadn't realised I split my trousers until I finished delivering an entire road and got back to my van. All my customers, a cheeky little flash all day.
David, can you beat that? What was your story about ripping something?
Well, I was out in Manchester with my brother and we'd have a nice day out. I remember going to Pizza Express, sitting on a stool. I dropped my brother off, got home, thought I'd get changed. Held my jeans up, as you do, and massive split down the back.
So you had no idea whilst you were walking around like the Arndale, etc., that you had a massive split in the back of your jeans?
I had absolutely no idea, and I was wearing white underneath, which made it even worse.
Now, also, David, actually, you spent all day with your brother. That's actually an interesting point there, because your brother would have been in a position to let you know that you'd split your pants, but equally, depending on what your brother's like, he might have noticed but not said anything, because I know that's what mine would have done.
Thrown you under the bus.
Yeah, I said afterwards, Jake, did you not notice I've not split my pants? And he went, no, I had no idea.
He's not looking hard enough, is he? That's for sure. Do you know, and obviously we were up at the Arndale Centre in Manchester for our show when we were in a bed for the day, and just watching people in Manchester like to get dressed up. You look good in Manchester. So this must have been particularly mortifying on the streets.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice summer's day as well, and no coat on or anything like that to cover it up. I mean, to be fair, if I'd noticed it when I was out and about, it'd be even worse, because then I'd have to go into a shop and buy a new pair.
If you put your brother Jake through a lie detector test, what do you reckon it would come out as?
I think he'd still deny anything. I think he'd just say, no, I didn't see anything.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
It's an unusual Friday because obviously strange stuff's going on. There's not many people around as well at the moment. Certainly quiet in central London where we are. Obviously the attention is focused somewhere else. So I feel like we're watching people a bit more closely if they're in the building here at Absolute Radio HQ. And the most unusual thing happened just before we started our show this evening in that our producer Nick with about 25 minutes, half an hour left to go before we went live. So I just need to pop down to Lloyd's to do something. I'm like, what's that? I didn't know whether it was the pharmacy or the bank. Turns out it was the bank. And he told us cryptically as he then, the doors closed on the lift, so we didn't get a chance to really speak to him any further about it. He said he had a load of old £20 notes to shift. And that is the and he walked out with a backpack. So it's the strangest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I don't know what he's up to. There's, is that a thing?
I think there is something in the water at the moment. I can't say too much. But my wife said that recently she also had to go to a financial institution to get rid of some notes that were soon to be out of circulation.
She hasn't been on some kind of job with Nick, has she?
I don't know, but I'm going to find out what's been going on.
I tell you what, though, whether it's dodgy or not, he's come back and he's bought us a load of chocolates. So I feel like a gangster's mole. I'm not even going to ask any questions.
I don't know whether they're good chocolates to eat, though. I think they're dirty money.
I'm happy with it, though. It tastes lovely.
Some context on people that are desperately trying to cash things at the moment. I've looked this up. Bank of England are withdrawing legal tender status of paper £20 and £50 banknotes after the 30th of September.
So that's why Nick's so keen to get down there with his backpack and trade them in.
What are we paying this man?
Unbelievable.
Outside at the end of a corridor in our little live music zoo space here at Absolute Radio, on the grand piano, that sounds very blasé.
What a decadent way to have some food.
Not going to lie, though, there is a grand piano down there, and on it is a little punnet of six raps. Now, they look like they've been got in for some kind of meeting earlier with people that are way higher up the tree than you and I here at Absolute Radio.
Oh, yes.
But there's six of them left. They're not refrigerated. I don't know how long they've been there, but they're certainly done with, but they've not been opened yet. Smoked salmon and poached egg, or tomato, spinach and poached egg. Now, each one of these individual wraps is still sealed, but they're not in the fridge. The question is, are they good to eat?
But it's like, that'd be like going through the bins at prep. Do you know what I mean?
But, well, no, I don't think it would be, because the thing that is making me think this could be a sensible decision is that they are all still sealed. They've not been tampered with.
I know, but I'm very weird about that. And I know, obviously, you know, with the cost of living and all that kind of stuff, I need to get my head in the right space. But I'm very, like, weird about if something's, like, gone off or by its near its sell-by date or... You know on egg mayo?
Yeah.
You can get a film on the top of it. After a certain period of time, it's that. I don't know what it is, it's just that. I can imagine you going into that room to eat them, if you do eat them. Like, you know when you see, like, a raccoon or a badger on CCTV?
That's exactly what I...
That's what it's going to be like. But get your head in the bin, fall over and run off again.
Cleo says, only if you want to lose weight over the weekend. Oh. John says, I would, but nothing with fish or fruit or avocados. So that rules out all of them.
Wow.
And Ian says, I used to buy an occasional sandwich on my way to work and keep it in my bag and eat it hours later. I stopped after I got Compilobacter. Dear Lord, I'm sweating just thinking about it.
Compilobacter?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
I've just Googled Compilobacter. Won't be eating any of those things.
No, I swear I've seen them at Reading 93 as well.
Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.